Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching comes from a recent seminar that Andrew did in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. This classic teaching on spirit, soul, and body is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
They used to pray this prayer that's, again, a quotation from Isaiah. I believe it's chapter 64, verse 1, or either 66, verse 1, somewhere. But anyway, it says, rend the heavens and come down. And people used to pray that prayer all the time. What's wrong with that is God rent the heavens and came down through Jesus. Amen. And Jesus is God moved to earth. And now God lives on the inside of you. So you don't need your prayers to get past the demonic realm the way that Daniel did. You don't need to clear a hole in the heavens. You don't need your prayers to get above the ceiling. You don't need your prayers to get above your nose. God lives right here in the Spirit. That's the reason that you bow your head when you pray, so that you can look at God. Amen. You say, Father, God lives on the inside of you. But yet people are always saying, oh God, my prayer just didn't reach to God. My prayers are blocked. It shows that we don't understand what happened to us in the Spirit. When you got born again, old things passed away, all things became new, and you're born again. Spirit is as perfect, as pure as Jesus is. Do you think that Jesus is on the throne today, wringing his hands over the economic problems in the world, and how am I going to finish my plans, and how is this going to work? Well, if Jesus isn't acting that way, why are you acting that way? It's because you aren't in the Spirit. You're in the flesh. You're looking at things only with your ability. I can guarantee you, Jesus, no problem. This is the greatest opportunity for believers. Other people are scared and they're selling off their assets for just a fraction of what they're worth. This is a great opportunity for believers to start buying and accumulating wealth and doing things. That's absolutely true. This is not as bad as everybody is proclaiming. It is not the end of the world. You know, in Genesis chapter 26, it talks about Isaac sowing in a year of famine and receiving a hundredfold return. Nobody else was sowing because it was a famine. And so there was nobody else with any produce. Abraham got top dollar for his crops. And right after that, just a few verses after he sowed in a year of famine and received a hundredfold, the king came to him and says, depart from us because you are mightier than our whole nation. Your wealth is more than our gross national product. You've got to depart from us. There was a link. He began to prosper while everybody else was suffering. And that whole chapter, Genesis chapter 26, begins in verse 1 saying, now there was a famine in the days of Isaac besides the one that was in the days of Abraham. You know what that significance of that is? It wasn't the first famine that had ever happened. It wasn't the last famine that would ever happen. People get to thinking this is something that has never happened before. There's always rises and falls in the earth's financial system. It's a man-made system. It's not perfect. It's not the first time that there's been problems. It's not going to be the last time that there's problems. And yet people are predicting that this is the end of the world. The sky is falling. Did y'all have that little nursery rhyme about Chicken Little? It's a little nursery rhyme about this chicken that started saying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, because he felt, what, a drop of rain or something like that? And anyway, everybody made fun of him, and it was stupid, and it showed that he only had a little chicken-type brain in his head. And anyway, it's a nursery rhyme in the United States. But in a sense, that's what people are doing. They're talking about that the world is over. The whole monetary system is falling apart and they're trying to put fear in you. But this isn't the first downturn in finances that has ever happened. It's not going to be the last. This is a great opportunity. And if you don't have the attitude that I'm talking about, it's because you are walking in the natural. You are listening to the natural people. You are letting them dictate to you your values and beliefs. God is saying, great time. Great time, wonderful opportunity, because everybody else is panicking. Everybody's operating in fear. It's a time for those that have faith to shine. It's a great opportunity. Amen. I'm starting a building program in England and in the U.S. Millions of dollars in the time of famine. I'm sowing. And I'm going to prosper. Everybody thinks you can't do that. That's the very reason that I'm going to do it. Nobody else is going to be asking for anything because they're all pulling back and circling the wagons and trying to protect themselves. And you know what? I'm going for it. Amen. We're going to make it. See, when you begin to start understanding who you are in Christ, it just exempts you from this world. People talk about, well, it's the flu season. Everybody gets the flu. I don't. I've gotten sick one time in 40 years. And that was just last year. And it's because I ministered 40 times in 1 week. And I depleted myself so that it was stupid. And I got sick. One time in 40 years. I don't believe in getting sick. I don't take medicine. I don't take aspirins. I walk in supernatural health. Some people say, you can't do that. That's because, see, you think you're only human. People look at me and think, well, who do you think you are? I think one third of me is born again. I think one third of me is as powerful and as anointed as Jesus is. And if I have the same power that raised Christ from the dead, it ought to be enough to heal my cold. It ought to be enough to perform miracles. You know, we've seen 3 people raised from the dead, including my own son, who was dead for 5 hours. They stripped him naked. They put him in a cooler on a slab, put a toe tag on him. And we prayed, and he sat up and started talking. Somebody says, I don't believe that. Well, then it won't work for you. If you don't believe that, if you don't believe that you have that power, if you believe it's out there that God could do it, but that he hasn't already done it, you'll never see that power manifest. And I know that many of you think, well, what you're saying is so different than what I'm used to. How could I do this? Just compare results. There are many of you that have been praying and asking God to heal you, to set you free. You've been asking for joy and power. You believe that God could do it. If you didn't believe that God could do miracles, you wouldn't be here today. This isn't your Sunday morning nod to God crowd. You're people that believe in the supernatural power of God, or you wouldn't be out here on a Thursday morning listening to a guy from Texas. You're fanatics. Or you were drugged here by a fanatic. You believe in the supernatural power of God, or you wouldn't be here. If somebody fell over dead right here this morning, and if I said, well, I've prayed for people to be raised from the dead, how many of you believe that God can raise somebody from the dead? I can guarantee you all of the hands in here probably would go up. So it's not that you doubt God has the power to do miracles. But you know where I could lose most of you? Is if I said, all right, if you believe it, you come up here and pray for him. And all of a sudden, there's many of you that believe God can do it. But if it's dependent upon you praying, all of a sudden your faith turns to fear, your excitement turns to dread, and you would just be overwhelmed with unbelief. Why? What's happening? It's not that you doubt God can do it. What you're doubting is that God will do it through you. And you know why? Because you see yourself carnally. You know yourself, who you are in the physical and in the soulish realm, and you know that you haven't prayed and fasted and done everything exactly right the way that you should, and you are aware of your failures, but you aren't aware that in the Spirit you have the raising from the dead power. Most of us don't focus on that. And so immediately, it's not that we're doubting that God can do it. We are doubting God's willingness to do it through us because we feel unworthy. But God doesn't use anybody because you deserve it. God's never had anybody qualified working for Him yet. I'm not qualified. I don't deserve the blessings of God based on my actions out here in the flesh. But in the spirit realm, I'm as perfect, as holy, as pure as Jesus is. I have His raising from the dead power on the inside of me. And all I've got to do is begin to acknowledge the good things that are in me in Christ Jesus, and my faith will begin to work. You can't acknowledge something that you don't have knowledge of. And most of us do not see ourselves in Christ. Most of us see ourselves functionally as only a body and a soul. And we don't understand that in the Spirit we have been perfected forever. That we are completely changed. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Most of us aren't walking in the Spirit. Many of you have heard that terminology, and what we mean by that is some people think that to walk in the Spirit you have to turn your collar around backwards. You have to wear a robe, or you have to have holy water and sprinkle things, or you have to go around with your hands folded like this. Or that's not walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is seeing yourself in Christ. And instead of saying, well, this person spit in my face, and so I feel sad. Quit going by what you feel. Go by what the Bible says about you. I don't care what you feel like in the Spirit. You've still got love, joy, and peace. And you just choose to start rejoicing, even though people have rejected you and criticized you and done things to you. You know, when our son died, I didn't feel joy. I wasn't happy. I started to have discouragement, grief, sorrow. Hit me the same as any of you would if you were told that your son was dead. But you know what? I don't like those feelings. And I've determined I'm not going to ever be sad or depressed. It's been 40 years since I've been depressed. I will not be depressed. I don't get depressed. And when I was told that my son was dead, I just refused to be depressed. I started feeling those same things that anybody would, but I don't like it. So you know what I did? I started praising God.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the subject of spirit, soul, and body. This teaching series was recorded at a special Holland GTS in Amsterdam. It's available in a 3-part album on CD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM231 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net.
This is Andrew sharing with all of our listeners to our radio program that we have begun producing our radio programs now from live teachings that I've made at our Gospel Truth Seminars. And the offers that we're making at the end of our program are really unique to our radio ministry. We used to take the radio programs from the TV programs, but now we are taking them directly from these live meetings. And one of the benefits of this is that most of the product offers that we are offering you are CDs and DVDs taught directly from these live gospel truth seminars. This is the only way that we're offering these is through the radio. So it'll be something that'll be unique. It'll be a blessing to you. Please take advantage of our new live broadcast.